Find more State House coverage at sdpb.org.
The House and Human Services Committee will come to order. I'd like to greet our internet listeners and everyone that has joined us this morning in the room here. We do have a full agenda. I did hear that you had a great meeting last week without me. I appreciate our vice, Mr. Speaker, taking over as chair that day. And hopefully it's okay to be back. We'll see how fast we go today through our six bills, all Senate bills today. I would like to remind everyone in the room to please turn off cell phones and also check your computers that you don't have the, or that you do have the mute on, so we don't have that noise as well. And with that, I think I will have the secretary call the roll.
Representative Blake?
Here.
Boomgarden?
Here.
Gerd?
Here.
Dreyer?
Here.
Ironclad? Jensen?
Here.
Lucas?
Here.
Mosier?
Here.
Nygaard?
Here.
Bomkema?
Here.
Vanderlinde?
Here.
Rave?
Here.
Pitts?
Here.
Madam Chair, there's a quorum.
Thank you. We have a quorum, so we will move forward. I would entertain a motion for approval of the minutes.
So
moved by Rave, seconded by Dreyer, seconded by Romkema. Thank you. Any discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, nay.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. With that, I would remind all testifiers to please be sure that you have signed in this morning. We do have several bills, so I would anticipate that we have several people here to testify. I would also like to introduce our new pages, and I'll do that as soon as they get here. My guess is that they are recuperating because I know they were here very late last night, so they're probably downstairs catching up. Oh, they're out doing errands? Okay. Okay. They will be back shortly. We do certainly appreciate the pages. They were here late last night after session, and tonight they will probably be doing the very same thing. Just a reminder again, because we do have several bills this morning, to be sure all questions go through the chair as we listen to questions and testifying during the bill testimony. I am going to change the order of the bills just a little. We will hear Senate Bill 46 just before Senate Bill 45. So we will go 15, 35, 46, 45, 73, and 76. Okay. Any committee questions or comments, personal privileges before we get started this morning? Were they this quiet for you, Mr. Vice?
Well, we were done by this time.
It's great to have a vice, isn't it? With that, we will move forward and start with Senate Bill 15. Do we have proponents for Senate Bill 15? Good morning, Madam Secretary.
Good morning. There we go. There's been times I've forgotten to turn on the mic. So good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Deb Bowman, Secretary of the Department of Social Services. This morning we bring before you Senate Bill 15, which is an act to revise certain revisions regarding the confidentiality and release of certain child abuse or neglect information. The department receives federal grants funds from the Federal Child Abuse Prevention and Treatment Act, and states must have a provision within the law that allows for release of findings or information regarding the abuse and neglect of a child resulting in fatality or near fatality. The department was notified by the Federal Department of Health and Human Services, their Children's Bureau, that our current statute was too restrictive in terms of this mandate. The proposed revision to the statute includes the language that was recommended by the Children's Bureau to make the state law consistent with the federal law. The proposed revision allows for release of findings or information upon a written request regarding the abuse and neglect of a child resulting in a fatality or near fatality, as long as the release does not jeopardize a pending criminal investigation or proceeding. The department also took this opportunity to add foster parents, kinship providers, or prospective adoptive parents to the list of parties eligible to receive this information about children being placed into their care, because we believe that is critically important for the caregivers to know as well. The department also chose to make style and form changes to the statute, which make up the remaining revisions that you see before you. We would ask your support of Senate Bill 15 so that we can come into compliance with the federal law and continue to receive our grant funding. With that, Madam Chair, I would stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Do we have further proponents for Senate Bill 15? Any further proponents? Do we have any opponents for Senate Bill 15? Opponents for Senate Bill 15? Seeing none, we will close testimony and open it to questions of committee for our proponent, for Madam Secretary Bowman. Any questions? Representative Lucas.
I have a question for the Secretary. The way I read that on the end of page 2 and on page 3, it says, upon written request, the Department of Social Services shall release findings or information regarding the abuse or neglect of a child that resulted in a fatality or near fatality of the child, unless the release of the findings or information would jeopardize a pending criminal investigation or proceeding. Who would determine whether it would jeopardize a criminal proceeding?
Madam Chair, Representative Lucas, that would be our department in consultation with the Attorney General's office.
Follow up. Would it be simpler to say if there is a pending criminal case so it doesn't become kind of a judgment on your part?
Madam Chair, Representative Lucas, I don't believe so, and the reason for that is this is the language that was specifically recommended by the Children's Bureau within the Department of Health and Human Services.
Thank you.
Further committee questions? Representative Blake.
Can you tell me, Deb, about the federal grant funds that you received for the Child Abuse Prevention and Treatment Act?
Yes, Madam Chair. Representative Blake, the grant funds are used in a variety of ways within our department to do training, intervention with families, a variety of different activities in order to prevent child abuse and neglect.
Follow-up? Have we gotten these before? Is this something we've gotten before? So this is just continuation, or is this new?
Madam Chair, no, we have received, Representative Blake, for many years, the Child Abuse Prevention and Treatment Funds. It was through a review of our Division of Child Protection Services by the federal agencies where they determined that we were out of compliance.
Thank you.
Further committee questions of our proponent? Representative Ironclad.
Excuse me, what is the amount of the grant or the funds that you receive?
Madam Chair, Representative Ironclad, $120,000.
Thank you, Madam Secretary.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Seeing no further questions, we will close testimony and questions and open up Senate Bill 15 to committee action and or discussion. Representative Dreyer.
Move to pass.
Second.
Representative Dreyer has moved to pass with a second by Representative Rave. Representative Dreyer, would you like to address your motion? Thank you. Any further committee discussion on the motion on the floor of do pass? Seeing none, I will ask the Secretary to call the roll. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, nay.
Representative Blake?
Aye.
Bloomgarden?
Aye.
Curd?
Aye.
Dreyer?
Aye.
Ironclad?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Lucas?
Aye.
Mosier?
Aye.
Nygaard? Roundkama?
Aye.
Vanderlinde?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Pitts?
Aye.
And I'm sure there were yeas 12.
Senate Bill 15 has passed unanimously. Representative Mosier?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Move consent.
Second.
Moved by Representative Mosier for consent, seconded by Representative Dreyer. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
We have sent Senate Bill number 15 to the floor on the consent calendar. Thank you, Madam Secretary. And Representative Mosher, would you carry this if there's any questions?
Yes.
Thank you. Senate Bill 35 is next up. Revise the definition of an assisted living center. Do we have any proponents for Senate Bill 35? Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Tom Martinez. I'm a division director with the Department of Health. Senate Bill 35 pertains to assisted living centers, and generally speaking, an assisted living center is a long-term care facility that provides services to residents who are unable to live independently but do not require the skilled care that is provided in a nursing home. Assisted living centers are licensed and regulated by the Department of Health. We currently have 176 licensed assisted living centers in South Dakota. Senate Bill 35 is short and a very straightforward bill. It's really just cleanup legislation. We are simply proposing a minor revision to the statutory definition of an assisted living center. As you can see in the bill, the current statutory definition of an assisted living center, in part, states that it is a, quote, freestanding, physically separate facility which is not otherwise required to be licensed. This definition was enacted into law in 1986. The problem with the existing statute is that the definition does not reflect reality in that not all assisted living centers are freestanding and physically separate from another licensed healthcare facility. In fact, we have, out of the 176 licensed assisted living centers, 61, or over one-third of the existing centers, are either attached to or part of a nursing home or a hospital. We don't know what the rationale in 1986 was for limiting assisted living centers to freestanding, physically separate facilities, but today, from a regulatory perspective, there is no practical reason to draw a distinction between an assisted living center that is freestanding and one that is attached to a nursing home or a hospital. And actually, in some instances, it makes a lot of sense for these facilities to be attached because this limits expenses by allowing some services to be shared, like laundry services, maintenance, dietary services. And this, I think this is illustrated by the fact that, again, we have over a third of the facilities that are attached to a hospital or a nursing home. So in a nutshell, what this bill does is merely brings the statutory definition in line with the current regulatory practice. With that, Madam Chair, I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have further proponents of Senate Bill 35? Any further proponents, Senate Bill 35? Seeing none, do we have any opponents of Senate Bill 35? Opponents for Senate Bill 35? Seeing none, we will open it up to questions of our proponent from the committee. Any questions for our proponents? Seeing none, then we will close testimony and questions and open it up to committee action and or discussion on Senate Bill 35. Representative Dreyer. Okay. Representative Lucas has moved due pass on Senate Bill 35.
Second.
Seconded by Representative Romkema. Representative Lucas, would you like to address your motion?
I think it was explained quite well, and I have seen some of these assisted living facilities like that that are attached or connected to in some of our rural areas to both a nursing home and a hospital. That's the whole complex as far as health care in the community, and it works quite well to share services, as was indicated by Mr. Martinez.
Thank you. Any further committee discussion on Senate Bill 35? Seeing none, then I will ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Representative Blake?
Call the vote.
Aye.
Bloomgarden?
Aye.
Curd?
Aye.
Dreyer?
Aye.
Ioncloud?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Lucas?
Aye.
Mosher?
Aye.
Nygaard? Romkema?
Aye.
Vandalindy?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Pitts?
Aye.
And I'm sure there are yeas 12.
Senate Bill 35 has also passed unanimously.
Madam Chair, consent.
Representative Romkema has moved consent, seconded by Representative Rave. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Senate Bill 35 will also go to consent. Representative Blake, would you carry this on the floor if there's any questions?
Yes, ma'am.
And Representative Jensen in caucus?
Yes,
thank you. Before we move on to Senate Bill 46, let's introduce our pages. We have Brooke Anderson from Rapid City and Aaron Deutsch from Sisseton. Thank you for being here. And you'll be here for a very long day today, I think. Okay. With that, we'll move on to Senate Bill 46. Do we have proponents for Senate Bill 46? Good morning, Mr. Lusk.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Dan Lusk, Deputy Secretary for the Department of Human Services. And I'm here to present on Senate Bill 46, an act to change the name of Adjustment Training Center to Community Support Provider.
Turn it off.
Is that better? Sorry about that. I appreciate the opportunity to present on Senate Bill 46 as this piece of legislation is brought forward as part of a comprehensive, inclusive, and collaborative administrative rules work group effort that was undertaken by the Division of Developmental Disabilities in the Department of Human Services, along with our partners, which have encouraged and endorsed this change. Those that participated in this work group effort were the Adjustment Training Centers and their association, South Dakota Advocacy, members of the Adjustment Training Centers, the Division of Developmental Disabilities staff, our legal staff, and family members of people supported in this community-based system. The bill effectively changes the names and all reference to it in statute from Adjustment Training Centers to Community Support Providers. This is the group of nonprofit organizations that provide home and community-based services and supports to people with developmental disabilities throughout South Dakota. The name for Adjustment Training Centers was established at a time when the vocational and habilitation aspects of services was emerging. Community Support Provider is much more reflective of the individualized services delivered in the current community-based service delivery system. Although the bill is very simple in structure, the change communicates much significance in terms of impact. What are the impacts of the bill? Currently, there are 19 nonprofit organizations providing these services and supports for people with developmental disabilities. They are our key partners in the community-based service delivery system. The new name will convey a positive inference relative to supporting people with developmental disabilities in achieving their dreams and their goals. This change will help in eliminating stigma and negative connotations associated with existing references. And the change is also in line with the division's mission as well as one of our major strategic initiatives. Although not a direct result of the initiative, the change will help in promoting and implementing our person-centered philosophy throughout the statewide delivery service system. With that, I will stand by for any questions and would appreciate your support and favorable consideration of Senate Bill 46.
Thank you. Do we have further proponents for Senate Bill 46? Good morning.
Good morning. Madam Chair, members of the committee, Tom Scheinest, Executive Director of the South Dakota Association of Community-Based Services, the association that's representing the 19 not-for-profit, soon-to-be non-adjustment training centers. This group of agencies are currently supporting over almost 4,000 people with developmental disabilities throughout the state. I'm here this morning to very briefly indicate our association's total support for Senate Bill 46, legislation that frankly has been promoted by the Community Adjustment Training Centers for some time. The label Adjustment Training Centers was adopted many years ago as a term that best described the function of the community agencies supporting people with mental retardation and developmental disabilities, based primarily on the desires of the federal funding sources being sought at that time. This label has actually served the the state very well. However, as was previously mentioned, the functions and the supports being offered now by the community programs today are much different than those offered years ago. Our association, through the participation in the Division of Developmental Disabilities Rules Work Group, saw this year as a great opportunity to take that step to better define what the community agencies supporting people with developmental disabilities actually did, that being support people with disabilities to achieve their personal goals and outcomes. As members of the Rules Work Group, our association suggested and supported the name change from Adjustment Training Center to Community Support Provider. We would like to thank the Department of Human Services and the Division of Developmental Disabilities for their efforts and their cooperation in seeking this name change, and would appreciate the support of the legislature in the passage of Senate Bill 46. I would be happy to stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Steinhaus. Further proponents of Senate Bill 46, which is an act to change the name of Adjustment Training Center to Community Support Provider. Any further proponents? Do we have any opponents to Senate Bill 46? Opponents to Senate Bill 46. Seeing none, we will open it up to committee questions of our two proponents. Any questions? Representative Ironclaw.
The previous gentleman, I was
just... Mr. Scheinhorst?
Can you give a little overview of, you know, services you provide, and just like a day in the life of your, or who you see and what the numbers are, if you have them, and what it looks like in the future for services being provided to this particular group of individuals?
Madam Chair, that's a very difficult question to answer in a brief period of time. Right now, the community adjustment training centers or community support providers really provide a full range of supports for a full range of individuals with many, many different levels of disabilities.
Mr. Steinhaus, yes. If you'd like to just a little closer to the microphone, right, then everyone could hear you. Thank you.
I'm sorry. The overall goal of the community support providers is to provide the supports that are tailored to the needs of the individual. So in some cases it might be residential services, day program services, and in some cases it may be less than that. It may be only day program services with an attempt to try to write a program plan for the individual desire to that person's needs and wants. With the obvious goal of trying to help the individual to become included in the community, to become a part of the community. The 19 agencies range from the Black Hills Workshop, for example, serving almost 400 and some individuals, South Dakota Achieve on the other end of the state, serving about the same number of individuals, down to the very small agencies like Winter and Lemon that might serve only about 30 or 40 individuals. I hope that was good enough.
Thank you. Any further committee questions of our proponents? Seeing none, then we will close testimony and questions on Senate Bill 46 and open it to committee discussion and or action. Representative Dreyer.
Move to pass.
Representative Dreyer has moved to pass with a second from Representative Jensen. Representative Dreyer, would you like to address your motion? Okay. Do we have any committee discussion on our do pass motion? I would certainly like to thank our proponents this morning. I think that anytime you do a name change, that's a huge investment by those that are involved in being those providers. And we appreciate that you're taking it back to your communities. And hopefully you'll have a marketing challenge, too, to be sure that everybody knows that you're the same people, but maybe a little different focus in that sense. So if seeing no further committee discussion, then we will call the vote.
Representative Blake?
Aye.
Bloomgarden?
Aye.
Kurd?
Aye.
Dreyer?
Aye.
Ironclaud? Jensen?
Aye.
Lucas?
Aye.
Mosier?
Aye.
Nygaard? Ronkema?
Aye.
Vanderlinde?
Aye.
Trave?
Aye.
Pitts?
Aye.
Madam Chair, the yeas 12.
Senate Bill 46 has passed unanimously.
Consent.
Representative Dreyer, I think, moved consent. Was that right? Or Representative Ronkema moved consent?
No.
And Representative Rave said no. So it will not go consent, but Senate Bill 46 will go to the floor with a unanimous vote. Representative Boomgarten, would you handle this one on the floor? Thank you. With that, we'll move to Senate Bill 45, which is an act to provide an exception to the practice of seclusion as it pertains to the treatment of a person with a developmental disability. Do we have proponents for Senate Bill 46? Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. I'm Lori Bauer. I'm the attorney for the Department of Human Services. Senate Bill 45 is an act to provide an exception to the practice of seclusion as it pertains to the treatment of a person with a developmental disability. Currently, SDCL 27B842 forbids certain practices, including seclusion, by facilities that provide services to persons with developmental disabilities. This bill resolves the potential conflict between existing statutes governing the use of seclusion and timeout. Seclusion is a form of punishment with no safeguards or time limits and is prohibited by both state and federal law. The use of timeout rooms are part of an approved behavior intervention program allowed in South Dakota as outlined in SDCL 27B856. The use of timeout rooms has a very restrictive safeguard, requires due process, and it is time limited through administrative rule. The South Dakota Developmental Center in Redfield and some community support providers, presently known as adjustment training centers in South Dakota, use timeout only under very specific guidelines as set forth in federal and state law. However, current language in state law causes confusion as to which practice is allowed and which is not. Timeout rooms are not seclusion and are allowable under state and federal law. This bill is also brought forward as a result of the work group effort that was discussed in the previous bill that included people representing the Division of Developmental Disabilities, Department of Human Services legal staff, community support providers, and family members of participants involved in these services. It was a collaborative effort to clean up and clarify current statutes governing the existing practice. Currently, no one receiving services from a community support provider has timeout approved as part of the plan. Very few people are impacted as the practice is utilized on an extremely limited basis. This bill clarifies that only the South Dakota Developmental Center and the community support providers presently known as adjustment training centers can use timeout rooms under the strict guidelines that are set forth in federal and state law. It does not expand the scope of the practice. The use of timeout rooms is very restrictive. Before any facility or community support provider can implement the use, there has to be an interdisciplinary team meeting where it is actually approved and it becomes part of the individual's behavior intervention program or part of their plan. In addition, the individual or his or her guardian must actually consent to the use of the timeout room in that plan. These requirements, again, are set forth in state and federal law. This bill will eliminate the potential conflict of laws that presently exists because state law is not clear that timeout rooms are not a form of seclusion, and they are allowed in facilities governed by federal law and the guidelines of SDCL 27B 852, 54, and 56, which is referred to in the bill and which I've included in your handout. I would urge your favorable consideration of this legislation and will stand by for any questions you may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Bauer. Further proponents of Senate Bill 45.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Once again, Tom Scheinest with the Association of Community-Based Services. I'm here this morning to, again, just very briefly offer our association's full support for Senate Bill 45. The adjustment training centers / community support providers have had very active participation in the Division of Developmental Disabilities Rules Work Group from which this legislation to clarify the statutory authority and existing practice for the use of timeout rooms came from. As recommended by the Rules Work Group, this legislation provides for needed clarification of the statutory authority and existing practice for the use of timeout rooms. We urge the committee's passage of Senate Bill 45. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shinos. Do we have further proponents of Senate Bill 45? Any further proponents? Seeing none, do we have opponents of Senate Bill 45? Any opponents of Senate Bill 45? Seeing none, we will open it up to committee questions of our proponents. Do we have any questions? Representative Mosier.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question for the
Ms. Bauer?
Yes, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm just curious, what's the benefit of timeout rooms?
Timeouts are typically used when there's been a behavior issue. And again, as I stated previously, typically that issue has been identified by the team that is probably working with this person. And they will put together a plan how to address this type of behavior if it happened in the future. For instance, if they become very agitated or something is going to occur and they would become a danger maybe to themselves or somebody else that's maybe in the facility or the group home. In the plan, then, they will determine how they are going to handle that. And everybody is very much aware, and obviously this person is typically there if they're capable of being there. And it will then be agreed that maybe they will have timeout as set forth by state and federal law with all the specific requirements under these specific circumstances. And then when that incident would happen, they would then proceed with the plan.
In schools sometimes, like maybe in a special ed room, they'll put up dividers in the corner of the room, for example. Would that be considered a timeout room?
Madam Chair? No, and that's exactly why we included in this bill that it will only allow the South Dakota Developmental Center and the community support providers. They're the only ones that can use timeout according to this bill with these restrictions.
One more very briefly.
Sure.
You also mentioned in your testimony that it would be only with the consent of the parents in the plan. Is there any concern that policies might develop to say, for example, you have to have this component, otherwise we won't treat your child? Is there any concern that that could develop or?
No.
Not at all.
No, and again, this typically is not going to, I think there might be one facility that has children where parents would be the people making the consents unless they've already been appointed as a guardian. So, but in those cases, no, again, it's a team of people that are making that decision.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Mosier. Further committee questions of our proponents. Representative Blake.
Thank you. Can you explain to me on this last portion on the emergency placement of a client?
What are you looking at?
It's the CFR, the very last one.
Okay, that's actually the federal regulations.
Okay.
And which piece?
The last.
Oh, okay. Emergency placement of a client into a timeout room is not allowed. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's typically because, again, they want a plan in place. If somebody is not, if this timeout room use is not in their plan, they can't just suddenly decide that person needs to go to timeout. It has to be in their plan. Obviously, they need to keep somebody safe, but they're not going to probably be using a timeout room, would be my understanding.
Representative Blake?
Follow up?
Okay.
Is there any way to watch these people, like the room, does it have a window or something so that you can make sure that they're not hurting themselves or?
It's my understanding by federal law they have cameras, so they're able to see every corner in those rooms.
They're under observation
at all times.
Okay, thank you.
Further committee questions of our proponents? Representative Ironclad.
Thank you. Can you give us an example of a scenario of a timeout room being used from?
Representative Bauer, Ms. Bauer, would she like to address that?
Thank you, promoting me.
Sorry.
I think I'll defer to the director of our developmental disabilities because that is the area she works in, and she would be more familiar with the type of situations.
We will, just for this one specific question, then allow a person that hasn't testified to answer that question if she would introduce herself and and if you would rephrase a question, Representative Ironclad.
Good morning. I'm Carol Rue, and I'm the Acting Director for the Division of Developmental Disabilities.
What kind of conduct would give rise to the use of this timeout room?
It's an excellent question. I have to preface by saying that we have a few individuals that have served in our community-based systems that have some very challenging behaviors. And so an example of a person that might need some limited timeout within an approved plan would be a person that would display some very unsafe behaviors to himself and to others, such as significant aggressive behaviors where he may be hurting his peers or attempting to injure staff.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have further questions of our proponents from the committee? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony. We will close testimony and questions on Senate Bill 45 and open it up to committee action and or discussion. Representative Vanderlinde.
I was director of nursing at an adjustment training center for 3 years in Sioux Falls, and we did use timeout sparingly. We had an interdisciplinary team. We had the parents involved or the self. Some of these situations could be that someone was taking their wheelchair and running it into other people, so we would take them into their room, and they would be under observation at all times. And it was a lot safer with this timeout room than to try and discuss it or take them into a corner. I would like to recommend do pass.
I take your motion.
Okay.
Thank you. But thank you for your comments.
But adjustment training centers, they have that's a very rewarding job, but it's a very difficult job. And they try to do the best that they can, and timeout really does help certain individuals.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Mosier.
Move do pass.
Representative Mosier has moved. Do pass. Do we have a second? Seconded by Representative Curd. Would you like to address your motion, Representative Mosier?
No, just that I appreciate the testimony, and I appreciate Representative Vanderlinde offering her experiences as well. So,
thank you. Further committee discussion on the do pass motion for Senate Bill 45. Seeing no further discussion, I will ask the secretary to call for the vote.
Representative Blake?
Aye.
Boomgarden?
Aye.
Curd?
Aye.
Dreyer?
Aye.
Ironclad?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Lucas?
Aye.
Mosier?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Tomkema?
Aye.
Vanderlinde?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Pitts?
Aye.
Senator Chair, there were yeas 13.
We have had a unanimous vote on Senate Bill 45. Move consent by Representative Dreyer, seconded by Representative Jensen. Any discussion on the motion of due consent? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Senate Bill 45 has moved to the consent calendar. And Representative Boomgarden.
Kind of a point of order here. You know, last Thursday when you were not present, the vice chair took over your position. We had three bills on that day. And when I went back and looked at those records, we finished our first three bills at the same time that he finished. And I think the reason he put Senate Bill 46 to off the consent calendar was so he could say that you had equal records. So
I think your point is well taken, and just goes to show never trust your vice. But that's...
Well, you got two bills to go yet. So
thank you, Representative Boomgarden. I would ask, though, if Representative Romkema might carry this last bill in the caucus if there's any questions, and maybe Representative Vanderlinde in your caucus with your experience on that one. And might move Representative Boomgarden out of order, but that's okay.
I'm sure you do have the authority to use timeout.
Thank you for that reminder. Representative Kurd, I believe, is next up on Senate Bill 73. Good morning.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 73 is brought to you this morning at the request of our community blood centers. Over the review of the statute, there was some confusion that arose as to whether a 16-year-old could, in fact, donate blood with or without parental consent. This arose after consultation with their attorneys. It was clear that a 17-year-old could donate blood unless specifically prohibited from doing so by a request, either verbal or written, by their parent. And this bill seeks to clarify that confusion. It changes made so that it allows a 16-year-old to donate blood with expressed written parental consent. It allows a 17-year-old to donate blood unless specifically prohibited by parent or guardian, another change. There are many 16-year-olds that meet the physiologic and physical status of someone that is in a reasonable position to donate blood. All donors are routinely screened, 16 and 17-year-olds, and this bill is an attempt to clear up the confusion that existed.
Thank you, Representative Kurd. Do we have further proponents for Senate Bill 73? Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, committee members. My name is Robert Garcia. I'm with the Donor Recruitment Department at United Blood Services. As Representative Kurd has ably represented the bill, I don't really have anything to add to that, but I am here in case you do have questions for us.
Thank you, Mr. Garcia. We certainly appreciate you being here for that. Any further proponents for Senate Bill 73? Seeing none, do we have any opponents for Senate Bill 73? Opponents for Senate Bill 73, an act to permit persons 16 years of age to donate blood under certain circumstances. Seeing no opponents, we will open it up to committee questions of our proponents for Senate Bill 73. Representative Nygaard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question for Representative Kurd, please. The question is, it would seem from your testimony that it was primarily to clear up the statute. However, I was just wondering if you could give comment as to, I understand that by donating, well, is the term donating blood appropriate for those circumstances where they pay for the blood also when they, quote, donate it?
Madam Chair?
I would assume that donating is donating. It doesn't seem like it meets the definition.
The reason I ask, Madam Chair, follow. The reason I ask is that I know that when I was in college several months ago, well, maybe years,
please
possibly decades, yes, four of them actually. But I'm not going any further than that, all right? We used to sell blood, and it was, quote, called donating, and I was wondering if there's a problem in some areas where they're teenagers looking for needing cash would, in fact, is that any way related to this bill?
Madam Chair, I don't believe so. I think that's expressly prohibited in our state at this time. You cannot actually sell your blood, at least legally.
Well, it used to be legal.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Further questions of our proponents, Representative Boomgarten and then Representative Mosher.
Madam Chair, Mr. Kurd, I guess the question I have just kind of follows up on that. In terms of blood pheresis or plasmapheresis, whatever, I can't remember the actual pronunciation, but is that included in this or should it be included in this?
Madam Chair, my understanding is that the same prohibition exists against selling your blood for plasmapheresis in the state.
Representative Boomgarten.
But it could be collected. That's included in?
Could be collected and under normal mechanism.
For the 16-year-old?
I believe so.
Representative Mosher.
Quick question for Representative Kerr. Just for my own clarification, is it accurate to say that when the blood bank pulls up, that they can refuse anybody from giving blood for basically any reason? Would that be accurate?
If the donor fails to meet any of the screening criteria that they have established, then they can refuse the blood from any individual at any time.
Thank you.
Further questions, Representative Blake?
Just wanted to know is there a form that the parent would have to sign, or so that somebody that's standing on the block hasn't signed this as somebody's parent?
Madam Chair? My understanding is that the facility will generate its own documentation. The parent will have to fill that out. Correct?
Further questions of our proponents for Senate Bill 73? Representative Ironclad. Mr. Garcia?
Mr. Garcia?
Yes, sir.
One question is, I know that in the past, when people would go in to donate blood, they had received compensation. And the other question is could you give us a little history, snapshot of the need for the blood now as to, people donate blood because we need it as hospitals and that. Could you kind of talk about that?
I'm sure. Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, very good question, and it's important to keep separate that function which you mentioned where people do sell blood, and there is a very real need for that in our society, people who do that where it is allowed. In fact, that blood becomes a pharmaceutical product. Whenever blood is paid for, it is never transfused directly to a person. Rather, it's broken down into tiny pharmaceutical components and then becomes medicines, essentially. When blood is freely donated without compensation, then that blood can be transfused to another human being. So it's a very big difference in the two processes, and in fact they are governed separately under law. With regard to the final portion of your question and the need for blood, it is very real. And the reason that you see the blood bank, all the blood banks that service our state and other states in the communities constantly, is because there is such a continuing, ongoing need. Blood has become not just a community resource, it is a national resource. It's not uncommon to find that a unit of blood collected in South Dakota could wind up in Florida or Maine or California. We are a member of a nationwide organization that does make blood available when it's not available in a community from other member organizations. So that is a very real possibility. And once upon a time, we told people, based on an old survey, that about 68% of a population is eligible to donate blood at any given time. In fact, a new study that was recently released found that there were some very real statistical deviations in that study, and actually only about 38% of the population is eligible to donate blood. That's huge, and it explains why we're constantly out looking for people to donate. Breaking that down just a little bit further, only 5% of the population actually does roll up its sleeves and donate blood. So I think that goes to answer why there is a continuing need.
Thank you, Mr. Garcia. Okay. Follow up.
Thank you, Chair. So you have two categories here, one where individuals will donate their blood and the other one where there's option to sell their blood.
Madam Chair, our organization does not offer an either-or option. We simply deal with volunteer donors in United Blood Services. And without engaging in too large a generalization, I would say that probably nationwide you'll find that if an organization is collecting blood from volunteers, it is not also buying it. We don't do that. We simply take volunteer donors.
A follow-up. I guess my question, I understand what your organization does, but is there, in South Dakota, is there any organizations buying blood?
Madam Chair, I believe in Sioux Falls there is an organization that purchases blood and plasma.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Garcia.
We don't. The reason I'm not clear on that is because we don't service that area, and I don't have a lot of experience with it.
Thank you. Any further questions of our proponents? Seeing none, then we will close it to public testimony and questions of our proponents and open it up to committee discussion and or action.
Madam Chair.
Representative Mosier.
Move to pass.
Pleasure. Representative Mosier has moved to pass on Senate Bill 73 with seconded by Representative Rave. Representative Mosier, would you have any comments on your motion?
No, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Any further discussion on our do pass motion?
Madam Chair.
Representative Lucas.
Thank you. I think this is a very good piece of legislation because of the statistics where only 5% of the people actually donate blood. And I believe if we get students that are physically able to do that started at a younger age, and they'll continue on with it. Now, there are a lot of prohibitions. You know, if you get a tattoo and travel outside the United States, that restricts a lot of people in some of those screening questions. And I think this is an excellent way to help restore our supply of blood in South Dakota.
Thank you, Representative Lucas. I, too, would like to thank our proponents, Representative Kurd and Mr. Garcia, for bringing forward this bill and also educating us just a little bit this morning on blood donation. I think that's very important to us as a committee as well as our listeners. Any further comments or questions on Senate Bill 73? Seeing none, I will ask the Secretary to call the vote.
Representative Blake?
Aye.
Bloomgarden?
Aye.
Kurd?
Aye.
Dreyer?
Aye.
Ironclad?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Lucas?
Aye.
Mosier?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Bromkema?
Aye.
Vanderlinde?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Pitts?
Aye.
Madam Chair, there were yeas 13.
Senate Bill 73 has passed unanimously.
Move consent.
And it has been moved consent by Representative Nygaard, seconded by Representative Jensen. Any further comments on...
I would object to that motion.
Okay. We have had an objection to Senate Bill 73 going on consent, so it will move to the floor with a unanimous vote, and Representative Kurd will obviously carry it on the floor. Thank you. We have Senate Bill 76 next, an act to require background investigations for certain optometrist licenses and applicants. Representative Dreyer? Senator Hansen? Good morning. Welcome to our committee. Good to see you.
Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm Tom Hansen, Senator from District 22, representing Beetle Hand and Girald Counties. And we have great confidence in the health care providers of America. We've long been able to rely on their self-appraisal and making application for license in the field of their training. However, we also recognize that there are a very small minority who take pleasure in breaking the rules. It is of special concern when that deception comes from someone seeking to serve as a health care provider. This bill deals with the section of the code dealing with licensing in the practice of optometry. It simply asks for a background check of anyone applying for licensure as an optometrist. The legislation is brought at the request of the Board of Examiners of Optometry and is similar to legislation passed 2 years ago as requested by the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. In Section 2, there is a new subsection identifying as Subsection 7, and that allows for the revocation of the license of anyone the subject of a disciplinary action if that person fails to cooperate with a criminal background investigation if requested by the board. With that, I will stand down and will appreciate your favorable consideration of Senate Bill 76.
Thank you, Senator Hansen. Do we have further proponents for Senate Bill 76? Good morning.
Good morning. Madam Chair, committee members, Bob Rader, I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Optometric Society. And we appear today in support of the bill. Senator Hansen presented the bill and indicated the reason behind it. I would say that when he spoke of the Board of Optometric Examiners having been promoting this, actually we entered into discussions with them. Their attorney is present today, but it's really the society, the members of the Optometric Society that believe this is an important issue to bring forward. It's important because we want to be proactive. We want to make sure that we don't have issues. We don't believe we do, but we want to make sure we don't have issues. And it doesn't impact a lot of people. I think in the last 4 or 5 years, we've had 18 as the maximum applicants in 1 year and 6 as the minimum. So it's really very, I guess, not inconsequential, but it is important to this profession, but in the scope of things, it doesn't impact a lot of people as far as licensing. it could impact them, obviously, if there's someone being treated by an optometrist and that optometrist has not properly been licensed and passed the background inspection or investigation. This is similar to what occurred for the chiropractors and also the nurses, too. The nurses several years ago passed legislation of this nature, or they supported it, and the legislature passed legislation of this nature. Preparatory to the session, we spoke with the Attorney General's office. Mr. McGuigan from the Attorney General's office is here today. But we understand that because this language in this bill is similar to that which was included in the chiropractors and also in the nursing legislation, that it is likely that this will pass the muster of the Department of Justice, and it has passed the muster of the Attorney General's office, I believe, although Mr. McGuigan's here. The cost of it, I think the chiropractors pay just short of $40, so it's not a significant cost item, and it's just a consumer protection bill, which we hope you can approve.
Thank you, Mr. Reiner. Do we have further proponents for Senate Bill 76? Any further proponents? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Naomi Cromwell, and I'm counsel for the South Dakota the South Dakota Board of Examiners and Optometry. I'm here before you today to testify that the Board of Examiners and Optometry fully supports Senate Bill 76. We believe it will be an important and a useful tool in consumer protection for the public in South Dakota. I would make one further comment that I want to clarify that Mr. Ryder testified that the cost of this background examination is approximately $40, and I just want to clarify that that would be paid by the applicants themselves. That is not something that comes out of the pocketbooks of taxpayers. And with that, I would just encourage the passage of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cromwell. Further proponents of Senate Bill 76? Do we have any further proponents? Senator. Do we have any opponents of Senate Bill 76? Opponents of Senate Bill 76. Seeing none, we will open it up to our proponents then from the committee for Senate Bill 76. Do we have any questions from the committee members?
Madam Chair.
You know, things are just going either too smooth or not smooth enough. I'm just not sure. Representative Kerr, do you have a question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I address it to whoever has the ability to answer it. And that question is, heard the testimony that it was $40 for the initial screening, the background check. And my question is, if that screening turns up something untoward, does that lead to automatic denial of the license, or does it lead to additional investigation? And if so, who bears the additional cost?
Possibly Ms. Krama, would that be our best from the board? Let's see if she can't, then we'll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My understanding of the question is, if something does turn up on a background examination, does that mean automatic non-granting of a license? Essentially, what that would be a basis for not granting the license. The applicant would still have due process rights under Chapter 126. So essentially, it's not an automatic, but it would lead to probable denial of the license with, of course, due process rights coming into play then.
Follow-up.
And the second part of the question was, should that lead to additional investigation, who bears the brunt of that expense?
Madam Chair, additional investigation would be conducted by the South Dakota Board of Examiners and Optometry, and that would be come out of the funds that the Board of Optometry obtains, and that is essentially funded by optometrists through their application fees as well.
Thank you, Ms. Cromwell. Representative Kerr, does that adequately answer your question? Okay, thank you. Further, Representative Nygaard.
And I'm sorry to keep you running back and forth, but for the prior speaker. Madam Chair, has Is this bill a result of having had someone who lied on their application and or else had misconduct and then got into the practice?
Madam Chair, to our knowledge, Representative Nygaard, there have been no instances where someone has acquired a license in optometry fraudulently by lying on their application. One of the questions that's posed to applicants currently when they seek licensure is, do you have any felony convictions on your record? So if they're answering truthfully, there should not be any instances. But, of course, we're relying on the honesty of the applicant when they fill out that application.
Follow up. And so to practice medicine in the state of South Dakota, is the same requirement there? Do you know?
Madam Chair, I'm not certain. I believe it probably is, but I'm not certain of that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cromwell. Further committee questions of our proponents? Seeing none, again, thank you for bringing this bill forward, Senator Hansen, Representative Dreyer, and we will close it to public testimony and committee questions and open it up to committee discussion and or action. Representative Boomgarden.
Madam Chair, I recommend due pass.
We have a due pass by Representative Boomgarden and a second by Representative Rave. Representative Boomgarden, would you like to make any comments on your motion?
Just quick comments. We're already doing this for other professions, and I think it's just following suit with what we're doing for those.
Thank you. Further committee discussion on our due pass motion for Senate Bill 76?
Madam Chair.
Representative Lucas?
Would it be safe to say that we can't see any problems with this bill? So it would be a good bill?
I'm not so sure it is so safe to say that. Representative Boomgarden?
Another timeout issue?
Starting to lose control. I can see that.
If you got done faster, it wouldn't happen.
This is a tough committee, don't you think? You would think Health and Human Services. I thought personalities were that softer touch, but... Do we have any further discussion on our due pass motion for Senate Bill 76? Seeing none, I will ask the Secretary to call the vote.
Representative Blake?
Aye.
Boomgarden?
Aye.
Curd?
Aye.
Dreyer?
Aye.
Ironclad?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Lucas?
Aye.
Mosier?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Romkema?
Aye.
Vanderlinde?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Pitts?
Aye.
Madam Chair, there were yeas 13.
Senate Bill 76 has passed unanimously and will go to the floor.
Madam Chair.
Consent.
Consent.
Representative Nygaard?
Yes, I move consent.
Representative Nygaard has moved consent. Is there a second? Seconded by Representative Vanderlinde. Any discussion on the consent motion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Then Senate Bill 76 has gone to the consent calendar. Again, thank you to our senator and representative for bringing that forward. With that, we have gotten through all the bills in semi-record time. And
it was cool. It was a good effort.
I will let the committee know at this point we do not have any Senate bills attached to our committee further, so we will not have a meeting on Thursday. But if our friends on the other side of the aisle, no, we will not have committee meeting on Thursday. We will have at least one more committee meeting, and please just listen for announcements. I will announce that a couple times, as well as our intern letting everyone know when we do have our next meeting, either for bills or we also, for new members, every year each committee does discuss if there's a particular topic they'd like to move forward as a study for the summer. So we will meet for that, and again, I will have the intern pass around that form before we would meet so that you have an opportunity to think about that, and we'll spend a little time that day talking about study topics. I would like to thank our pages that we've had today. We may not see them back in committee, I'm not sure. Aaron Deutsch and Brooke Anderson. Also like to thank our intern, Christian Jensen, for the help that we've had. Again, we will hopefully have one more meeting. With that, any committee questions or comments before we would adjourn? thank you for your patience last week with your chair. And
they didn't have time to have. We were out of here in like 10 minutes.
Why do I keep giving you these openings?
I don't know why you're throwing these softballs up. That's all right.
I would entertain a motion for adjournment. So moved by Representative Rabe, seconded by Representative Kurd. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much.